maybe some of us sitting here this morning, we don't know what to get so excited about. Why are we excited about the blood of Jesus? And why are we celebrating Pentecost? And, you know, I was that way once before. You know, who are you excited about the blood? I'm okay the way I am. When we come to the fact to recognize that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Again, I said earlier today, we were born with a sin nature. So it's natural for us to sin. We think it's normal. But when we look into the Word of God and we feel His presence, and we recognize the thing that we do is in conflict with God, that the wages of sin is separation from God now and for eternity. And folks, I mean, if we're outside the Word of God, He tells us in John 10:10 that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You know that? And He does it through way we were born, okay? How many times have you tried to do something and you fall on your face? How many times have you even tried to get yourself out of a... You want to be a good person, but every time you try... Every time that you try to be a good person, you find yourself right back where you started from. When you realize that you can't be the person you want to be because you can't overcome the sin in your life. That's where the blood comes in at. That Jesus Christ died on the cross, lived a sinless life, died on the cross. He paid the penalty for your sins and my sins. And when we acknowledge it, when we, yes, Lord, when we come to Him, that blood that He spilled on the cross cleanses you and I from all sin. Born again, just as if we never sinned. But then, to continue to live this life, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, some might quite understand that today. That's okay. And some of you might be listening. Some of you guys might have been walking with the Lord for years, and you don't have that power. Well, Pentecost, that's when He sent the power. You think. You look at the Scriptures. Everything that Jesus did, He left for us to do also. See, sometimes we get wrapped up, it's all about myself. It's about all I can do, all I can have. And folks, when we come to Christ, when we surrender our life to Him, and we exchange our death penalty for eternal life, it's all about Him. And that's what happened at Pentecost. See, the Master was crucified, He was buried, He rose up from the grave, and He walked upon this earth. Our Jesus walked upon this earth for 40 days, witnessing the folks, showing Himself to the disciples. But there's something that He did, you find that in the book of John. John 20. Verse 19. Now this is the Master. He's coming in to see His disciples. About ready to ascend into heaven. In verse 19 of John 20 he says, "So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' When He had said this, He showed them both His hands and His side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.' And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained.'" Wow. Jesus breathed upon the disciples. Breathed upon His followers. That remind you of anything? Let's go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. "Then God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. and the man become a living being. Man, as it was in the beginning, shall be in the end. At that moment, man was restored. When Jesus breathed upon them, restored them back to the book of Genesis. This is, and just think, they had the same instruction. Now, in Genesis, okay, now go multiply. It's the same thing. When Jesus breathed upon the disciples, now go multiply. That was physical. This is spiritual. Go multiply. Multiply. So those who receive Christ are born again, born of the Spirit. Did Jesus not say you must be born again, born of the Spirit? Amen? And did he say you had to be born again to be a good person? Did he say you got to make sure you give you all your money away? No, he said you got to be born again, born of the Spirit. Okay? Without the Spirit of God, you do not get into the kingdom of God. Okay, how good you are, how awesome you are, how well you can sing. Okay? I can't get to heaven because I sing so well. You know that? It's hard to believe. But when I acknowledge I've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, my wages of sin is death, separation from God for eternity, that I'm hell bound, that the fires of hell is made for me because, boom, well, it was made for the fallen angels. But they're mine because I follow the devil. Either God's your father or Satan is. That's pretty hard to swallow. Before we're born again, Satan is truly our father. You got to be born again, born of the Spirit. So when we get to the point where we acknowledge that we have sinned, guys, when we acknowledge it, that we have sinned, we've fallen short. Truly acknowledge it. I mean, when you know in our spirit, yes, I deserve death and hell for eternity. And you recognize what Christ did on the cross. Died for your sins, paid the cost for it. And you receive that. You've transferred from death to life. Now, when that takes place, when you transfer from death to life, man, there's nothing this world can hold on to you with. There's nothing this world has on you. There should be nothing in this world that's going to keep you from following the Master. There's not going to be one little sin creeping around you all the time and say, well, I'll just play with it for a while. When we realize that we are transferred from death to life, we follow Jesus, it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen? Now, when you know that, and you get fired up because of Pentecost, because the Holy Spirit has come. That you can do exactly what Jesus has called you to do. Amen? Listen, guys, listen, there's a revelry going on here. You understand that? We have been brought into these end days of the church period to serve Him, to be His witness, to hear and all around the place, to live for Him. There's no power in hell, He said, will come against you. He overcame death, hell, and the grave. He's called us to be His witnesses. I ask you today, are you born again? Have you received the gift of life through Jesus Christ? Have you received it? Or are you not sure yet? By faith. You're right, brother. Listen, man. Check the thing going on here. If he goes to a certain store and finds ammunition on sale, he lets me know. Why? Because, hey, he knows I like ammunition. You know, it's hard to find right now. I find them, I tell him, back and forth. That's what we're involved with. Right, Brother Chuck? That and chasing cows around, okay? Excitement. If Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord, if you receive Him, He's living inside of you. You get so excited, you got to tell somebody. You don't care if they like it or not. You don't care because they need Jesus. Because they're going to die without Christ and go to hell. And time is short. He's coming back soon. And you can't do this without the Holy Spirit. You got to have that Holy Spirit to give you the strength to stand and do what He's called you to do. Not one of us is going to happen because we're perfect. Understand that. Woo! We're not. We're going to heaven because we receive God's forgiveness. Amen? Think of that. Wash in that blood. That sinless blood that poured out for you and I. And we get ourselves to that point where we understand that, man, yes, I have sinned. And all the stuff we used to do, we thought was okay, aren't them? That's what men do, right? Because we were born in sin. Born in sin. We say, well, God made us this way. But He didn't, right? He made two people, Adam and Eve. Told them to reproduce, and before they reproduce, they sinned. So we're born with sin nature. Well, I was born this way. You was born that way because you're born in sin. And the awesome thing is, we all need to be born again, born of the Spirit. And we get to that point, acknowledge that. Truly understand that. That God loved us so much that Christ came and died on that cross to redeem us from our sins. When we receive that, receive Him as our Savior and Lord, boom! There's not more. He is set free. All the guilt is gone. And then we want to tell others. We want to let other people know about Jesus. He'll set you free. He'll restore you. He'll give you that peace He talked about. Disciples, go. Spread the gospel. Why? To multiply. Born again, born of the Spirit. It's an awesome thing. To do what He called. He said, Christ told us, that whatever happened to Him will happen to us, guys. And He wasn't lying. If we follow Him. Persecution? Yes. People are going to hate you for the truth. But is the truth the truth? It is. If we truly understand what He has done for us, the only way to set people free is hearing the truth. If we cuddle the truth, if we hide the truth, we're not being fair to the world. It's the truth that sets people free. Not your opinion. Amen? It's the truth that will set people... They have to hear the truth. You have to hear the truth to be set free from it. You got to know you're lost in order to be found. Amen? You got to know that you're lost. I've never been lost before in my life. I've just been places I've never been before. You know? But what we need to do is be honest with ourselves. Each one of us. If we look at the Word of God, man, is this me? I have sinned. And He still loves me. I spoke against Him. And He still I made fun of people who went to church. He still loved me. Why? Because I didn't know. I didn't know. I thought there was people going to heaven, and they're fanatics. I'm like, come on, going to church more than twice a year? Come on, I go Easter and Christmas. Celebrate his birth and His resurrection. What more do you want? My way of thinking. When you get born again, it's a little bit different, isn't it? Completely different. You realize, man, that is life. And then you're awesome. You think it's an awesome thing to realize that He's called each one of us to represent Him here on planet Earth. Wherever we go, you're His ambassador. Think of that. I don't care if you're going through the drive-thru today, if you're down there at Taco Bell getting that burrito. Wherever you go, you're His ambassador. Family picnic coming up today? Graduation coming? Whatever it might be, you're His ambassador. He has called you to represent Him wherever you go. And sometimes it's pretty easy. And sometimes it's pretty tough. But He still called you. And the only way we can do that is with Him. And with that Holy Spirit. Jesus from the cross. From the cross. When they had crucified Him, they beat Him, pulled out His beard. He looked like a hamburger hanging on the cross. He looked down and He said, Father, forgive them. Do not know what He's doing. From the cross, He did the same thing that He's given us the power to do. Remember He rose up from the grave, breathed upon the disciples. And said, now, whoever sins you forgive, they're forgiven. Any sins you retain, they're retained. Now, I ask you from that cross when the Master was looking down, did He retain the sins of others? Why? Because if He had not said, Father, forgive them, there'd been a legion of angels come down and wiped out. Every one of them. Why? Because He said, do not touch my anointed. God speaks it, and that's the law. We have the power to intercede. Didn't the Master come to rescue us? So why were you from the cross when we're destroying him and making fun of him and oh, come down here, come on, hey, gambling for his clothing? Father, forgive them. Because he had not, the purpose on that cross had been over with, been wiped out. We wouldn't be here today because we had no great-great-grandpeople. Look at the sacrifice he did for us. But he has called us to do exactly the same thing. Hear that, church? He's called us to do the same thing. Father, forgive them. And from the cross, he looks over to the thief. Hey, the thief acknowledged him. He said, hey, you'll be with me in the kingdom. I'm paraphrasing it. The insults that he took. And he spoke, Father, forgive them. And this thief over here, we talked about it before, man, he had been insulting Jesus, making fun of Jesus, him and his buddy on the other side of him. But he heard him say, Luke's got it documented, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they've done. And that spoke volumes to him. He acknowledged Jesus as the Son of God. Remember the day when you're in your kingdom. Surely Jesus said, you'll be with me today in paradise. See what happened? The first convert. I ask you today if the Master hanging on the cross could keep his mouth closed when it comes to revenge. If he could say, Father, forgive them. Can we not do the same thing? Can we? Then my question is, are we? Are we doing it? Or are we getting so upset, so tight over a couple of words spoken? Is the church living for Jesus? But he said, listen, you're going to be insulted. They'll make fun of you. That's okay, they make fun of me. You hang in there with me. I got your back. I'll strengthen you. So you can't do it without the Holy Spirit. You need that power. You got to be determined in your mind. Jesus knew the crowds hated him. He knew it wasn't going to be any easier as he went along. But he was determined to do the will of the Father for our sakes. And he told us the same things, guys. The farther we go along, the uglier it's going to get. It's going to get worse than what it is today. Because that's okay, I called you. I'm with you. I live in you. We'll empower you. You can do this. I need you to do this. For the sake of others. If the Master had not interceded, I can imagine the angels in heaven. I mean, there's Jesus. I mean, remember, he stepped down from glory. I can see that this is like the line between earth and heaven. And I can see when they're whooping Jesus and making fun of him. I can see the angels. Come on. Come on. Just say the word. Say the word. Say the word. Father, forgive them. Forgive them of their sins. Folks, don't get confused. That doesn't mean that they're headed to heaven. Understand that. He doesn't say you and I can forgive somebody's sin for the enter of the kingdom of God. When someone sins against you, you have the power to forgive it. Because our heart has to be, God, I want to see them in the kingdom of God. Forgive them, Father, what they've done to me. Forgive them for what they've said to me. And be determined to do exactly what Jesus did. It'd be like this. I got a little demonstration I want to show. Good boy, Ryan. Witnessing to people. Not everybody's going to be happy. Some are, some aren't. But this is what... why we need the Holy Spirit, okay? And what we're talking about here is, Father, forgive them. So, Ryan is going to do some witnessing to this lost soul named Chuck today. Well, let me...
before you were even born, Father, forgive him.
Is it my boy?
Forgive him. He doesn't know what he's doing.
All right.
Father, forgive him. He doesn't know what he's done.
That's awesome. See what just took place? Now, I know Chuck would probably win. But I came to destroy him. And my son interceded, Father, forgive him. So there's Chuck standing there, listening to Brian again. Swings at him again. Here I come. So now he's like, whatever Ryan is saying, I mean, this is strange. He's still telling me about the love and the need of Jesus. He's not destroying me. And I spoke to him. And as he went on, Chuck would come to know Jesus. If Ryan would have been on the offensive, they ain't going to take me on, are you? That's good of me. Did he come across? See what took place? He had the power. He had the strength. Chuck could have been pulverized if I had to bring in Brian or Angela and Carol to him. But he didn't. Because his heart's more concerned for Chuck's soul than his own physical well-being. And that's where we have to be in our life. Amen? Thanks, Chuck. Appreciate it. Thanks, son. You think, wow, man, I don't know. But that's where he's called us, sharing his gospel. Now, let's just back up just a little bit. Let's go away from the physical confrontation. Let's go to the verbal. How many people here are losing it because someone speaks something that you don't agree with? Well, let's go to the modern days. They post something that offends you, and so you got to get in there and basically tell them, hey, pack your bags and go to hell, that's where you belong. How much love are we showing? It's not inside of us that we can find some type of Bible verse, something from the Lord, say, oh, hey, you know, I understand what you're saying, but you know, God still loves you. He died on the cross for you and me. We've all sinned. And you come across. It's the truth part of it. He's told us in the beginning that these days will be upon us and people will be acting the way they are. But he's called us to stand in the gap. To truly share his love. Only way we can do that if we're truly born again. If we truly understand what he did for us. And truly understand that person. Chuck was me at one time. And then don't tell me about Jesus. I'm a good guy. You know? Don't tell me. He'd be like, Carol, don't tell me I need to go to church. That's all you tell me I need to go to church. I need Jesus. I'm a good guy. So just leave me alone. I'm a cop. Boss of all the peacemakers. But over the years, through prayer, here I am today. It'll be frustrating. You might have to, you're witness people, or you're living for the Lord, you go to a family function, wherever they are, they're rejecting you and making fun of you, persecuting you. You might go home and stick your face in a pillow, like, God, help me, cry out to him, strengthen me, Lord. He understands that. The master did that. Father, not my will, but your will be done. He's determined to do what he calls him to do. And for us, the same way. Determined. He delivered me. From me. I was my worst enemy. But the light shone on me. To people who loved me. I met a bunch of Christians one time. I tell you what. They cared for me. They weren't sitting there judging me the first time they met me. I went one place one time. I stepped out in between the sermon and they had a coffee thing and had a cigarette. I come back the next week. They had big signs. No smoking. So I walked across the alley and smoked. I mean, did it make me feel good? They weren't worrying about my soul. They forgot about my wife crying out and praying for my salvation. It should have been rejoicing. Hey, Stark, he made it. Hey, Stark, have a cigar. We're just glad you're here. Amen? But man, that turned me off. Boop. But God wasn't done. She wasn't done. And I went into the church one day. They embraced me for who I was. And I saw men worshiping God, loving God. Oh, my. They weren't afraid to tell me about their mishaps and their problems and how God rescued them. Kind of like the gospel is the book of Acts. I love the book of Acts. The gospel, it tells the failures of the disciples. They weren't afraid. Hey, I messed up. Hey, I knew Jesus. Peter said, but I denied him 3 times. But then he restored me. It's knowing that, man, Jesus is exactly who he is. That's why when he was ready to ascend into heaven, he told the disciples, I want you to go and tarry. You're going to hang out in Jerusalem. I'm going to send you another. I'm going to send you the counselor. In fact, what he gave us a few inscriptions of it. He says, and I got a few scriptures here. You can write them down or you can try to follow me. But you know me, I talk kind of fast. And this morning I did glue my teeth in. It'll be a little bit faster. So, but it says in Luke 24:49. Jesus says, and behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Well, this is the resurrected Christ speaking. Now, you're going to hang out here for a while. You're going to receive power. Well, what's going to be on there? John 14:16. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you, and you will be in you, and it will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. And that day you will know that I'm in the Father, and you in me, and I'm in you. But he says up there in 17, but that is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. He said, the Spirit of truth. Why are they rejecting this? Because they don't know him. They don't know the truth. Do you know the truth? Yes. Amen. Okay. If you have the truth, then our calling is to share that truth. Find out. I said Friday night, pick out a politician, pick out an actress or an actor right now who's so wrapped up in this terrible sins of the world and start interceding and praying for them. Intercede and pray. Fast. God can turn anybody around. Amen? He can take the voice of those right now spewing out ugliness and turn around and speak the truth. He did that, Brother Saul. Turn around and become Brother Paul. That same energy he had coming against, which he thought he was serving God at that time, as Saul. God turned around and used it. If we write people off, God can't use them. And we are shortening the arm of God. And you don't know, whoever thought that Donald Trump would ever stand up for the things of the Lord? Not saying that he's a preacher, but understand, he had a wild life. Well, that's what I hear, at least. I don't know 100%. But God used him. As the church has prayed out, Father, we need someone, help bring somebody back to help us bring back you into the United States. 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 17 people running for office on the conservative ticket. He was number 17 on my list. And God kept whittling down. We kept praying and interceding. When it came down to him, it had to be the right one because I know God hears the prayers of his people. So then we got behind him and still continue to pray for him today. So when we try to write people off, say, oh man, I'm not wasting my time praying for them. Hey, listen. Unless God personally relieves you that duty of interceding and praying for someone, pray. There's probably a lot of people you could ask. 40 years ago, when I just started the force, 45 years ago, you think Stark could ever be a preacher?
No.
You ever think Tim would be sitting in church while he's preaching? No. But look what God has done. He turned our life around. And he's using us in our areas. And that's what he has plans. We got to remember that even though people don't have a need for God today, tomorrow they might. Still want to be removed from power. I don't want the devil running this country, amen? I don't want his followers running this country. But them followers can be released through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. John 15:26. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. And you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning. In John 16, this is a chapter over, verse 7. Again, Jesus is telling his folks, hey, listen, I'm going to send this helper. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send the Spirit of truth. You're going to need this thing. Why? Because you're going to follow my footsteps, okay? Just trust me. Just believe me. Just believe me. John 16, 7, he says, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Right there. That's what come to me. To the prayer. Verse 8, and when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And folks, that's the key word. I was convicted of my sin. Praise God for that. Oh. And then the judgment, my sin, well, I knew right away what it was. But also righteousness. Because of the blood of Jesus, I stand here today righteous in his eyes. His righteousness covers me. Convicted. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the world of this world has been judged. If you sit here today and Jesus Christ is not your Savior and Lord, you're sitting already in judgment. All sin has been judged. And the wages of our sin is separation from God now and eternity. In a place called hell. There's no way around it. That's what the judgment come. That's the same judgment I had upon myself. But the good news is Christ died for my sins. He paid the cost of my judgment. And I received him. My judgment's paid in full. My sin debt is canceled. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't have to report to jail. I don't have to go and collect $200. My sins have been paid for. And today, you're sitting here today without Christ Jesus, your Savior and Lord, and you know that you've sinned, and you know, man, you want God. You cry out to Him, Lord, come. I surrender my life to you. And He'll come. And you'll say, well, preacher, there's no way I can stand in front there and start preaching to people. It's one step at a time. One step. God will guide you wherever He has calling in your life. But just to get that sin debt canceled, to receive that forgiveness, it's already paid for. All you need to do is reach out and receive it. Acknowledge, yes, that's me, God. I'm sin. You're the reason that Christ came. He died for me. He came to rescue me. Hey, Lord, take my life. Take my life. Drugs had it. Alcohol's had it. The world's had it. My sin thoughts had it. You want it? I give it all to you. And I'll follow you, Lord. Because He said He's come to give me a life. And give it more abundantly. Jesus says in verse 12, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will disclose it to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for He will take of mine and will disclose it to you. And all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that He takes of mine and will give it to you, disclose it to you. That's how powerful this thing, the Holy Spirit, is. Without the Holy Spirit, we could never accomplish what God's given us. What's that? Right, amen, amen. In Acts chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. Verse 6. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the epochs, which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the remote part of the earth. And that is still going on today. His followers have been called to witness him. If you put it not in today's modern day English, you'll be my witnesses at Walmart, Royal King, Tractor Supply, and even Dairy Queen. Wherever you go, you'll be my witnesses. I'll be with you. And this power of the Holy Spirit has been given to us to be that witness. In verse 9, after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky where he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside him. They also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into the heaven. And from there they went into Jerusalem, into the upper room. And they say about 120 folks went. And they would tarry there. They'd be there for 10 days. 10 days. I myself, I wonder how many went to start with. Was it 200 followers of Jesus went? Hanging out? Maybe the third day? Man, I got to get going. Hey, don't go. Jesus said, stay here. He's going to send. I understand what he's saying. But man, I got things at home I got to get done. And listen, he said he'll give you power. Give you strength. I understand. But to say at the time the Holy Spirit showed up, there's 120 in the upper room. The disciples there. Jesus' mom was there. Men and women both. Amen? He poured his Spirit out on men and women. Sons and daughters. But they were there in agreement. They were there searching, longing, wanting all that God had for them. No doubt they didn't understand everything. I don't think they did yet. I don't think they quite understood the supercharge that Jesus got when he came out of the Jordan and he was baptized. I really recognize it was the Holy Spirit that gave him the strength to go day by day to do the witnessing that he did. But he said, listen, you're going to be my witnesses? You're going to need this. You're going to need it. Now you can confess Jesus' day as Savior and Lord, to give your heart to him, never be baptized, and be in heaven. But boy, I tell you, if you're going to walk upon this earth, you need to walk in the power that he's given through the Holy Spirit. The day of Pentecost, when that fire fell, it fell upon them, all 120. And man, it was just like a rushing wind, the Bible tells you, Acts 2 will tell you. And they started speaking in unknown languages, speaking in tongues. And I had some people say, oh, step back, preacher. Come on. I'm telling you, that's the start of the church. It hasn't changed any. Don't let anyone tell you that tongues have disappeared from the church. Don't let anyone tell you that that's of the devil. They tell you that, they don't understand. Could you not say these are signs of those who believe? You'll cast out demons? Did he not say that? Did he not say that you were speaking different tongues? If you get bit by a snake, it won't harm you? Or a serpent, or otherwise politicians even, if you want to look at it, okay? Did he not say if you drink something poisonous, as you follow him, it won't harm you? Did he say that you lay hands on the sick and you recover? Amen. So why do we think it changed. I mean, can you imagine if Chuck and Ryan got into a fight and Ryan grabbed a 2x4 and used that and kept Chuck at bay, boom, and they fought for like 10 years, okay? And here I come along and Ryan says, okay, Dad, you can take over this fight. And I said, okay, give me that 2x4. No, you don't need the 2x4. Don't need the 2x4. That's what you use to keep him at bay. That's what you use to defeat Chuck every time he's all whoop on you. I need that 2x4. No, you don't. But why would he want to do that? Why would he have the weapon to start the fight with and not give it to me to finish the fight with? Or why would God give you the Holy Spirit? Why would he give you the power of praying in tongues, speaking in tongues? Why would he give you that at the beginning of the fight if he's not going to have you use it at the end of the fight? Because the end of the fight is worse than the beginning. So you get your mind set on that, okay? You might be sitting there today, well, man, I don't pray in tongues. Okay, seek the Lord. It doesn't mean you're not saved. Please, understand that. I can be a Marine Corps and never shoot a 50 caliber gun, shoot a 22, I'm still a Marine, okay? But man, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that's available to us, and we seek Him. And they hung out for 10 days. And that's all they did. Myself, when I got my prayer language, man, I was always praying. I was praying in my kitchen, I was praying in the church back and forth, seeking the Lord, and it come. It's not for me, it's for the Lord. Through me, through the Holy Spirit, not me, but allowing to pray through me is the perfect will of God. I don't know how to pray at times. My spirit, you pray through me. It's awesome. And also, he even said, the scripture said, Paul said that as I pray, it also cleanses me. It helps in my weaknesses, my infirmities, my sicknesses. It's an amazing thing. I just want to encourage everyone here today that was sent to us as power, the Holy Spirit. And He hasn't changed. In a couple of minutes, I'll have to share a song with us for a couple of minutes. And I just want you guys to hang out with the Lord. Just speak to the Holy Spirit. To empower you more and more. Because I tell you what, it's amazing the thing that's coming towards us, that the victory that you guys will have for Christ's kingdom. An awesome thing. And you know, a lot of people thought that it was crazy when they started speaking in tongues. But the language they're speaking, the people in the city, they understood. This person, I would speak Japanese, okay? And then Ryan might be speaking, I'm going to say Pekingese. Russian, I don't know. I don't know that many languages. But wow, that's part of the miracle right there. But to seek it, there might be plenty of things in the Bible we don't understand. I've been there before. But it's in the Word of God. Believe it's true. Ask God, help reveal it to me. God, this is power. I want all that you have for me, God. I want that strength. Because just as the Master was persecuted, if we're following Him and sharing the gospel, the same thing's going to happen to us. And the only way we can be empowered not to latch out of people is having the Holy Spirit to lead us. The Holy Spirit will even speak to you and tell you references to what that person is coming from. Do you get somebody, you just, man, they're the meanest person in the world you ever met? You ever think about what happened in their life? God, show me what took place. How can I pray for this person? The Holy Spirit will guide us in that. But it's an awesome thing. But all this will start only with a relationship with Jesus, by receiving Him as your Savior and Lord. And as they get ready to share the song with us this morning, if you have any questions about salvation, I'm not here to sell you anything. I'm here to offer you the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And it's very, very precious. If you got a question about that, I just want to ask you to hang in there. We'll be, as this part concludes, we'll be here for having lunch. I've got an office back here. I'll explain more things to you. I want you to understand. I don't want you to just say a prayer. I want you to understand how awesome God is, what He offers to you, and this relationship is so beautiful. And it's a day-by-day relationship. See, coming to your life, you're just starting to walk. You're going to turn away from the old way and start walking this way. You're going to be walking and walking. And you might be tripping and stumbling, but somebody will be there to help pick you back up again. It's a relationship. because the Bible is so full of love that it shows exactly what sin is, that God come and redeem us from those sins. So, but if you want to just hang out with the Lord for a moment and just seek the Lord as more of Him.